Welcome to the Author Factor Podcast, the show for profitable insights and tips with business owners, entrepreneurs, and CEOs who use their nonfiction book to create the ultimate competitive advantage and grow their business. Here's your host, Amazon best-selling author and book publishing coach, Mike Capuzzi.
Welcome to another profitable episode of the Author Factor Podcast. I'm Mike Capuzzi, and I want to thank you for joining us. My guest today is Nick Gwynn. Nick is an intellectual property attorney, speaker, and author. Nick focuses his practice by advising clients on trademark issues and manages their trademark portfolios. He's the author of the short helpful book, Everything You Wanted to Know About Trademarks, the essential guide for all online businesses, which I helped him publish in the spring of 2022. Nick, welcome to the Author Factor Podcast.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's good to reconnect with you. And it's like we were just saying, it's been almost a year since you published your first Shook, your first short helpful book. So congratulations, and wanted to touch base with you and see how it's going. So before we jump into all that, Nick, I'd love to hear more in-depth information about your practice, who you serve, and how you serve them.
Thank you, Mike. So as you mentioned, I'm an intellectual property attorney. I help clients with trademarks, patents, copyrights, and trade secrets. Largely what that means is if a person or a business has an idea, a name, a logo, and they want to protect or enforce it, I'm their guy. And if I'm not the person they want to work with, I certainly can help other ways. But that's a little bit of what I do. My clients vary in the nature of their businesses, but I do a lot of work with clients that are online businesses, restaurants and bars, food and beverage manufacturers, and financial institutions.
I know from my own experience with my own trademarks and intellectual property. And it seems like, Nick, not a week goes by I'm not talking to a client about the potential of registering a trademark or copyright and the importance of that. Could you quickly, before we get into your book, and I know we're going to talk about your book, but what is a good metric, Nick, for someone who's listening to this to know, like, when do I invest the time, energy, and money into going the official registered trademark, copyright, is there a good sort of litmus test?
You know, the reality, Mike, is that yesterday is probably the best time. And, you know, I have clients who I've helped who have used their trademarks for 100 plus years. That was a fun and interesting experience. But often when a client comes to me and they've been using their mark for a long time, it's because they found themselves in a bit of a pickle. You know, they're either enforcing their trademark rights against someone else or perhaps they're defending their rights in litigation. But typically the clients that come to me on the front end as they're developing their brand or their brands, they find themselves in the best position to protect and make long-term decisions that are going to avoid even greater costs down the road.
Right. But I mean, you know, entrepreneurs have ideas every day, right? Do you trademark every idea that comes to you? Do you have any recommendation? Like, when is something worth trademarking, for example?
Oh, great point. So, you know, there's some brands, for say product names or initiatives that a company might develop that may be short-lived. You know, they may be seasonal, something that they'll use for the next 3 months and then they'll move on. For those situations, a trademark probably doesn't make sense, but, you know, we may want to take a look at it. But if you're giving your business a name that is going to interfere or to interface with customers or other contacts, that's probably a good indication that it's serving as a trademark or going to, you know, a name, a logo. If you're going to launch a product or service that you want to stand out in the marketplace and you're going to invest time, money, and other resources into it, those are all signs that those are marks, source identifiers that you want to protect because you don't necessarily want your competitors to create confusion with you.
Yep. And that's exactly what happened to me years ago with CopyDoodles. Fortunately, we trademarked it very early on. And then when it really kind of blew up in popularity, people were using the word CopyDoodles in their marketing. They were, you know, sending affiliate offers and there was all kinds of confusion in the marketplace. And we sent out a lot of cease and desist orders, I guess, or letters back in the day, just, you know, because it was causing marketplace confusion.
One of the things I frequently see, Mike, is people say, well, that'll never happen to me. And then it does. And they say, well, how can we deal with this now? And, you know, there often are mechanisms for dealing with a problem that could have prevented earlier. But often the best medicine is prevention on the front end.
And it's really, it's not a hugely expensive endeavor to protect this type of intellectual property. So it's, you're right. I mean, it's something that most people should consider if they have a business that they're, you know, have product services that are unique to them. So Nick, a year ago, you wrote this short, helpful book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Trademarks, The Essential Guide for Online Businesses. And I love the way you focus that, because I know you had the idea there's going to be other, you know, versions in the library, the Nick Wynn Library. But tell our readers it's kind of obvious who it's for, but who's it for, and what will a reader get by reading this important book?
So this book is geared towards any business owner or brand owner or anyone else who's involved in brand decisions who wants to learn a little bit more about the trademark process, what issues brand owners and trademark owners consider. You know, not all trademarks are considered and treated equally. You know, if you consider a generic term for something like soap or soap, it's not going to have as much value as, say, Exxon for energy products. And the book, at a fairly high level, introduces the reader to important considerations so that they can start incorporating these concerns into their decision-making process and speak intelligently with trademark counsel and other brand professionals.
So tell me how you're using the book in your practice. Over the last year, you've had the opportunity to do some things, promote it and stuff like that. Is there any one particular strategy that has worked well, Nick, for getting your book out there in front of your, you know, ideal reader?
I think the two best vehicles so far, Mike, have been the word of mouth and referrals. I've been very blessed and very fortunate to have support from a lot of attorneys in San Antonio and beyond who send me work. And many of them were delighted and supported when I released the book and have ordered or asked for copies that they can give out to their clients. So that's been terrific. The other activity, which was a blast, was hosting a book signing at one of my clients' businesses. It's a winery. It's a Rerouted 210 urban winery here in San Antonio. And the Beckman family, they were just so wonderful to host us. And we really had a great time. And that was a great opportunity to sign the book, visit with family, friends, and supporters, and share a little bit more about what it's about.
Yeah, you did a great job, by the way, on that. I saw the big crowd, and I saw the line of people in line waiting as you're autographing books. So I think I told you that one of those photos is going to make it in my a new book I'm publishing, just as a strategy, as hosting your own book signing. So nice job there.
Thank you. I would be honored.
Yeah. So you worked with us. You worked with me specifically over, about a year ago now, I suppose it was, and went through that process. So I'm not going to ask you the typical question I asked, which is, what mistakes did you make when you published your book? But I kind of asked that. But I'd love to hear, Nick, before we dive into, how you got your book done, why did you even think that you wanted to publish a book on this? Because there's a ton of books out there on trademarks. I mean, what was your thought process, if you can recall, a year ago about now?
Writing a book is something that I've wanted to do for a long time. And I've made several attempts, and I'm usually a goal setter, and I try to reach my goals, and I generally do a pretty good job of it. But I was always getting stuck somewhere in the early process or getting distracted. And I remember one day I was on Amazon looking for books to read, a variety, and I stumbled across the 100-page book. In fact, I see it right behind you, by one of your books. And I ordered it, and it transformed the way I thought about books and how business owners can use them to build their reputation and get their name out there and help people in the process. The 100-page book taught me a lot about the value of short, helpful books, shooks, as you call them, and how this process is a great opportunity to share what you know with readers who can really benefit from them.
Again, for someone who's listening to this, there's obviously a time and place for a traditional 200-300 page book, but and maybe someday you'll have that, right? There's going to be something you're going to, you know, the textbook or the encyclopedia. But for what you're doing, Nick, where you're just trying to start that conversation with the first one, which is for online business owners, just to start thinking about the importance of protecting their intellectual property and trademarks, a quick 1-2 hour read is all that's needed to create that relationship.
That's right. In fact, I've had several people, when I tell them about the book, they say, oh, that's great, Nick, but I'm never going to read this. And I say, oh, have no fear. You should be able to read this book in 1 or 2 hours, no problem. And when I tell people that, they grin and they're pleasantly surprised. You know, it might be tempting for some people who are listening to think, oh, are people going to think less of my book because it's short? No, get that outside of your head. Mm-hmm. People are happy to have short books.
Yeah, because they can always continue the conversation because you invite them to with you. And it doesn't have to be the end all be all. And again, it's not like you're trying to teach them the A to Z encyclopedia of how to do trademarks, file trademarks, protect trademarks. That's not what this is about. More and more I see these people do appreciate that quick read. And if they want more, they'll get more from you. I'm going to ask you kind of an off-the-cuff question because I remember this when we were talking, and I'm assuming you're still going to do this, but this idea of having these different verticals of books. You got the online business book. I know restaurants and bars are another industry you focus on, and you know, maybe there's another one there also. But this idea, Nick, of, and I want to hear from your voice because this could really help someone else, the idea of taking this book, and I don't know what percentage of it would remain the same, but then niching it for other industries, is that something that you're still interested in doing? And if so, just out of curiosity, how much of this content that you've already written is applicable? So how much is it, 80% can be, remain the same and you're sort of putting a different wrapper around?
Excellent point, Mike. And one of the challenges I faced in cover design and the branding of this book was thinking about how will this translate into those subsequent books. There's both multiple verticals and horizontals, so to speak, at least that I have planned. You know, I want to write additional books on patents and copyrights and trade secrets, much like this book on trademarks. But even within the trademark book, I would like to cater subsequent books to other industry niches. You know, this book is the essential guide for all online businesses, but I'd like a similar book for bars and restaurants, or a similar book for wineries, distilleries, and breweries, one for financial institutions. Because from a marketing standpoint, I think people are more inclined to read something knowing that it's for them. And I know that in many of the episodes of this show, you frequently ask, you asked me, who's this for? And when you can articulate that your book is for this group, it just makes it all the more attractive to them.
Yeah, it's a very powerful strategy. And just out of curiosity, in your book, because you... how much of it is already written, would you say, for those different industries? You're not doing a complete rework, right? Are you?
That's right. So across the patents, copyrights, those will be similar themes, but those will vary.
Right.
But within the trademark series of books, I'd say 80 to 90%. Yeah. And I don't want anyone to be misled and think, oh, I love all Nick's trademark books, and then they keep rereading the same thing. I mean, probably one book is all they need with respect to trademarks. But across the books, I will change some of the hypotheticals and examples that I give. You know, I talk about, well, in this situation, I've worked with clients who have faced this, and it's a client in an online business. But in the next book, that hypothetical might be replaced with a financial institution or the like. And so, so much of the heavy lifting has already been done that it makes sense for me to go through that exercise of tweaking the book slightly for different audiences. And in fact, when we were going through the edits last year, I marked up the portions that will need to be replaced, and it really isn't that much.
Yeah, and again, the teachable moment here for listeners is if you have the opportunity where you serve multiple verticals, but most of the content can remain the same, this idea of having a industry vertical focused version of your book can be very powerful. It allows you to have a more unique conversation, a more specific conversation. In the case of Nick, if you wanted to go speak at a bar and restaurant event, it would obviously make sense to bring your bar and restaurant version of your book and hand it out versus the online business. So just you were the one client that really had a unique opportunity to do that, Nick, which is why I just wanted to share it here on the podcast. What have you learned, Nick, about the, I'm going to focus it. I was going to say the book publishing. And if you want to talk about the publishing side of it, that's fine. But I would say more of the book promotion. What have you learned about the book promotion, book marketing over the last year that maybe you weren't, you know, a year ago you didn't know? Is there anything that sort of has stuck out like, wow, that's harder or more challenging or whatever it might be?
I have been I've been incredibly pleased and pleasantly surprised by how impactful the book has been on a micro level. You know, sharing it with my close contacts and friends, people really jump at it and gravitate towards it. And kind of on a local level, sharing it. On a broader scale, you know, I thought I'd post it and make it available online, and people would come knocking from every which way at looking for my services. That's still the goal, and we're working towards that. But that doesn't happen as quickly as I may have thought. And so I probably need to manage my expectations a little bit better. That requires other marketing efforts, which you talk about all the time, Mike, on the podcast and in your books, that, you know, just simply having the book, you know, writing the book, that's step one. There's so much work that comes after it, and it's rewarding. You know, I'm not discouraged, but it's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, it is the it's sort of I should trademark this, but it's the consistent, persistent use of that book pretty much all the time. I mean, getting on podcasts, trying to get speaking gigs, you know, creating marketing funnels, whatever it might be, it takes all that, you know, all the above and more, Nick, to get that thing out there. Because again, your book does help people, and it's on a topic that is important. I think a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs aren't really aware of it and understand the importance. But that's what's so great about your short book is they can read it in an hour or so and get a much better grasp on why intellectual property is so important for most business owners. Talk about the impact to date. What has it meant for you to be a published book author? I know in the future you'll probably have more, but as of today, Nick, like what has changed for you specifically, whether it's personally, within your business, with your practice, now that you're a published book author?
Personally, has been extremely fulfilling. This has been a long time goal. I mean, I've had a goal becoming an author since I was a little kid. So being able to check that box, so to speak, has been really nice. As far as professionally, you know, it's just if you're in a position to write a book, you're probably already doing things to build your reputation and establish yourself as an expert in your field. But writing and publishing a book, I think, is another one of those major milestones professionally that people look to and say, wow, Nick is a published author, or, you know, Joe Schmidlap is a published author, whoever it may be. And so if it's something that you're thinking about, I highly encourage people to pull the trigger.
And before I ask you to share where folks can learn more about you and get your book, I've got to ask you about the book cover, because I see it behind you there. And I know you had some fun with this, but this is not your typical trademark book cover, if there is such a thing. So can you let our listeners know, when they grab a copy of your book, what are they going to see there?
So this was very purposeful and probably one of the things that slowed down our process, but because we were so purposeful, and I didn't have much of a social media system in place, my own website. I mean, we have the law firm website, but I didn't have my personal branding site in place. And so there were so many variables that I was trying to make sure they were working in unison, and that I wasn't going to make a decision that would negatively impact something else down the line. But part of that was, I want a brand behind this publishing effort, whether that's, you know, the YouTube videos that I put out or the book and subsequent books. And I thought about this a lot like a branding professional, especially a trademark lawyer would. I need to pick a name that goes with it that I'm not going to be infringing on someone else's name and logo. And I want to make sure it's something that's distinctive, that's going to set me apart. And when readers see it, they associate it with me. And so I'm an avid diver and a supporter of marine life. And so I chose the name Coral Reef IP. I love corals. And so to complement that, we went with a book design that had featured coral, you know, as a color, as an upper band on the cover, a white middle band, and then kind of an aqua teal color on the bottom with waves cascading. And further to that point, we have a scuba diver who is working at a computer because, you know, the scuba diver runs an online business. I anticipate that in future books, the scuba diver will engage in activities complimentary of the audience.
If having a beer.
Having a beer, chopping broccoli, Dana Carvey, broccoli, yeah. You know. But big picture wise, I was thinking if you're in someone's home or you're in someone's office and you see a black and yellow book, you probably recognize it immediately and associate it with the Four Dummies mm-hmm. books. I know I do. And so I wanted that same approach to these books that I'm going to write and publish, that when someone sees that coral white and aqua with the waves and the scuba diver, they have no doubt that's one of Nick Gwynn's, you know, Coral Reef IP books.
And the fact that you came up with that theme, that metaphor, because of your love of scuba diving and marine biology and ecology, I think that's very cool. So it's unique to you. So nice job there.
Thank you, Mike.
Where can our listeners learn more about you? I know you have a gift for our listeners. Share all that, Nick.
Absolutely. So I encourage folks, if they've enjoyed this podcast and want to learn more about trademarks or other IP issues, to check out my website, nickgwynn.com. I think that's going to be in the show notes. And we do have a gift. It's Gwynn Guides. See what I did there? It's the Gwynn Guides on how to perform a trademark audit. People and businesses may be using trademarks and not even realize it. And by reviewing the trademark audit and how to perform one, you can take an assessment of your business and maybe you have trademarks and don't even realize it.
Great. And if they do want to get your book, I guess once they get the guide, they'll be able to learn more about where your book is.
That's right. The book is available on Amazon. It's easy to obtain, so you can get it from there.
Good. Well, Nick, it's been awesome to reconnect and love what you're doing and just keep it up and can't wait to see the next one.
Thank you, Mike. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you.
And to my listeners, thank you. And if you found this podcast helpful, please help me grow by sharing with your network and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Till next time, this is Mike Capuzzi.
Thank you for listening to the Author Factor Podcast. To learn more about Mike's unique short book publishing opportunities, please visit BiteSizedBooks.com.